We did Siv Zayin, which is the last Siv, and we were holding in the Mishabura. So with the case where you're tying across the opening, so you can use any type of chevel across. We're not worried about the fact that he's going to leave both of them there. No, I'm sorry. If the case was there was already the rope was already attached to the avis, and you just want to attach it to the pora or not. Or the vice versa, it was attached to the pora and you attach it to the avis. It's mutter because the stomach said kesha shoyikvar manicholios kosher matira shasheni. The nature of the way people usually do it is they untie the one they just tied now and they leave the older one in place. Okay, fine. Now the Mishabura is going to go through a few points in the halacha, not directly connected to this last sif, but to general halachas of kosher and matir. Kol kesher shel pamim nimlach min vatlo sham la'olam. There are scenarios where a person will change his mind and leave it there. Avu bishat chilas hasiyos lo hoyus amat manas l'niach sham. So even though you plan not to do that, but since the nature sometimes people will change their mind, therefore Chazal asked are doing it because you might change your mind. Now if you change your mind, it's hard to say it becomes a deraisa, but it's not clear. So Chazal asked are doing it with that intent because of the possibility of it will become a deraisa. Hilchak also liksha ritzua is hamich nasayim. Okay, so now exactly the metzias of what they're talking about. So where you had in the mechnasayim you had ritzuas, I do not know. But apparently there was a place that there was a kesher over there, which sometimes a person would just leave it like that until it wear, the garment wears out. Fine. New point. If I take foodstuff items, so let's take grass, the type of things which can be fed to an animal, and I tie a knot in it, so the Mora says, like in the case of gami, the type of things which can be fed to an animal, it's not a kesher shel kayama. The whole idea of kesher and these type of things are so insignificant. It's not really called putting two things together and making a new, especially if you learn the way we learn kosher, that the yikra malacha is the act of taking two things and making a new entity. So taking two pieces of straw and making them into like one is not chashuv enough. That's called kosher. So he said it's only mutter because it's going to come apart. That there is a problem. That the Gemara seems to say that there's bechlal no din of kosher on ochle behema. Okay, new point. A posuch of olim chayv mishum
ochle behema.
Food, animal food, animal fodder.
No din of what on it? Kosher?
Kosher.
What do you tell?
If I take two pieces of I take two pieces of long grass, which you're feeding to the animal, and I tie them together with a knot, is that called kosher? Someone says there's no din of kosher on tying together ochle behema. Haposuch of olam chayv mishum kosher, but my freedom veinu mechav on the kalkal chayv mishum matir, the Rambam. So the person takes you have in the steps of the process of making a rope, so you're going to have the original fibers, which eventually you will do tevia and spin them into threads, and then you ply them together into a rope. So posel chavolim is the process of applying the strings, the threads together to make the rope. So it's called posel chavolim. So the Rambam, the post-sale, like psil tchelis, the same word you're having with tzitzis.
Oh, the sa.
Yeah. Okay. Hapotel. Sabalim, right? Apothel, if you want to get really serious about it, right? So, so a person makes, he's plying the strings into a cord, into a rope. So that's called kosher. See, well, there's no knot being made over there, but because it's done in such a way that they cling together. So actually, the way they do that is when you spin the thread, you can spin the spindle right to left or left to right. So they actually will spin sometimes right to left, sometimes left to right. And then you put those two things together because they are spun the other way. They hold each other in place. So they become bound together. That's how you do it. So that's a form of kosher. Even though there's no knot involved, the Rambam says, that's called kosher. Now it's interesting. The Rambam in another place actually seems to indicate that the malacha involved over there is not kosher. That it's because of urig. It's really a form of weaving. You know, so I can weave a garment together, or I can weave these two threads together and make a cord. It's a form of urig. But the Rambam over here says the problem is it's chayiv. It's a toldo, and the chayiv is because of kosher. And therefore, if a person would take the cord apart, say if he's doing it in the form of kilkel, he's not going to be chayiv. But if he does it in a way where it's not a kilkel, so he'd be chayiv because of matir. So the interesting question which comes up is the modern version of that is you have the twisty ties on your bag. So when you twist it, you're being poisel the two ends of the tie together, making a thicker one. Or do we look at the fact that it's made out of metal and therefore it remains distinct from each other? So it's not the malach of poisel. So this seems to be machlokes. And the modern poskim, how we deal with that, whether that's considered poisel, or do we say the fact that they remain distinct from each other is not considered poisel? So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchos that brings up Shama Zalman was Masupik on the Shiloh. So he says that it would be preferable not to do that. So if a person wants to tie up a bag, he says you just wrap it around like this. As opposed to twisting it, it would be much safer in halacha, not getting involved in that possibility. Okay. Interesting question which comes up, which is not so much a kosher shayla, but is a tofer shayla, which we'll get to as we get to Shin Mem. We'll talk about the halacha of tofer. But one of the questions which comes up is zipping something in. Why is the zipper mutter? Why isn't it the form of sewing it together? You're interlocking things together. So there are some poskim which are mocking around it. The general assumption that it's not. Okay.
Why is it mocking the fakish?
Well, if it's made to open and close, it's hard to call mocking fakish. You zip something in, but you have to take it out. So it's not a real. It's a tool. It's made to go. It's like opening and closing the door of your house. You don't say every time you close the door of your house, it's makapatish. Interesting case where this halacha, going back to a case which you don't think about where halacha comes up is stitches. Stitches. We pass on that tefira begufas halacha is called tefer. So sewing stitches on Shabbos in a person's body would be a malacha. If it's so, and if you tie it off, which many times they tie it off at the end, that can be a kesher, which is going to stay. So, if the nature of the stitches is that they go back and they remove them until you're planning to untie it. So, at the beginning, so they're abundant. So, obviously, if a person is holding by the point they need stitches, it's at least a chal. I mean, many times, at least it's a chal of shem, so you're mounted the Isidore abundant for that purpose. But sometimes you have stitches which, if it's a chal of shem, so you do whatever you got to do, you can save his life. But many, a lot of times it's a chelashem b'sakana, so you can't do malacha d'oraisa. So he's tying this knot, and he's going to leave the knot in. See if the knot, the thing dissolves eventually. So it could be that's also not called shakayama. But if it stays, it's small enough that they can just stay in, and they're not going to open it up to take it out. Or they do searches inside, those type of things. Those knots stay. That gets back to the shayla. He only really needs it there till the body heals. after the body heals, doesn't need it anymore, but he has no intent to take it apart. Is that called kesher shel chayama or not? And that was the Rashi, which was mashma. Yes, according to Rashi, you would have it. He said the right, so to do such stitches. So according to other poskim, would be not like that. Okay, let's start the next siman. The next siman is the malach of Mevashel. So we had before in Reishon and Gimel through Reishon and Tes was the Surim Darabanan, which Chazal put in place because it looks like Bishul, you might come to do Bishul, those type of things. Chazal Asher Shia, Chazara, Hatmana, those type of issues. But now we're going to deal with the actual Malach of Bishul. So I would like to do first the Mishabura in the Sukkot and Aleph. Just go, gives an overall view of the Malach of Bishul. Okay. So, Hamavashal, Bishabas. So the Echad Hamavashal Es HaMichel Oyes HaSamimonim Oyes HaCham HaSamayim. So Bishul applies to a food. So food makes sense to us because there's an actual change. Many times there's an actual change in the food due to the heat. You're actually changing it. You had a raw piece of chicken, now it's a cooked piece of chicken. It's quite different. There was a change in the makeup of the food due to the heat. Samamonim, when you cook it, so the dye leaches out of the samamonim into the water. So it's not as dramatic as a change of the food, but it's also enough to be chayiv. Mechamas amayim, so the person is just heating water, and immediately after he takes away the heat source, it'll cool off. You didn't really change the water. The water remains exactly the same. There's no real change in the water. So I might have thought that that's not called Bishul. So he says it's called Bishul. Ritzalimer. After Mayim Ruya Lishtiya Beloy Bishul. Even though the water really is drinkable, it's potable water, even beforehand. Wood and Cholav, the same thing cooking milk. But right now you want the heat. So that's also called a tikkun, that the water now is hot water, and you can benefit from the warmth which is there. Vechrov is a pass, or a person bakes something, which is so. All of these are different forms of the same malacha. Tafia hu minyan bishul, because we consider afia and bishul as one. Also afia hu bepas, bishul hu b'shari dvarim. When we talk about baking things, there's a baking process and there's a cooking process, but both of them are rooted in the idea that you're using heat to change an item, and that's the and make it more edible, and that's the malacha. Now, hamatich echad mimine matochos koshu, a person melts metal, or hamachamim is a matachus ad shetayosu gachelus. So, or a person heats up metal to the point that it gets red hot, it starts glowing. So, Hareze told the Mevashel, these are considered a tolda of Mevashel. Why? How is it comparable to the Mevashel? So, in the first case, you melt metal, so you took a cell and you melted it. So, that's, I understand, that's parallel to the idea of heating water or cooking food, etc. Over here, I just made the metal red hot, I didn't actually melt it. So, why is that tolda Bishel? Because the mice of the nature of it is that you soften it with that heat, and now it's more pliable. It's easier to shape it and do whatever you want to use to make it into a kli. So that's also, even though it didn't melt, that's enough to say that a person would be chayv for bishul. Now it's interesting that this is the language of the Rambam. The Rambam in a different place says that taking metal and making it red hot goes into the issur of making a fire. Even though the classic case of a fire in the Gemara is wood which is actually burnt and consumed. So the fire is making a real change in the wood. It takes it from being wood to ash. So that's the primary case of the malach of mavir, of making a fire, but the heating metal till it's glowing and it's red hot is also told of mavir, and it's chayiv because of mavir. So the sickle steer and Rambam, there's a little bit of a problem of a steer and Rambams whether the malach is mavashal or not. The interesting question which also comes up Is a din of chatzi shir. In other words, you say that if you heat it till red hot, it's called mevashel, or it's called mavir. So if you heat it to almost red hot, but not red hot, is there a malacha? There's a chatzi shir of a concept of chatzi shir in a malacha.
So, on electricity, the question about what the malacha is. So wouldn't it be your malacha of Bishul yet?
So according to this Rambam, it's in the Malachas Bishul, it would be Mavashal. According to the Rambam, it says it's Mavir, it would be Mavir. So either way, it's going to be Chayiv.
I misunderstood your question.
Turning on a bulb.
Turning on a bulb.
An incandescent bulb. The way it works is the resistance in the tungsten,
right,
which is used, is high enough that because of the resistance, the metal starts to glow. So you made the metal red hot.
Okay.
So the malacha involved would be this malacha mavashal or mavir, whatever you understand. That would be the malacha involved.
But you're also creating light. So I thought all the malachas are based on acts of creation. It's an act of creating light, you know, as opposed to. Well, I mean, I guess it's a question of it might be multiple malachas all at the same time.
So you're asking a good question. Is there a malacha of creative work not found in one of the Lama Tess Malachas? If I do creative work which is not one of the Lama Tess Malachas, would that be considered a Malacha Daraisa? The assumption according to the vast majority of Poskim is no. You have to tie it into one of the Lama Tess Malachas. There's a Yerushalmi, which is maybe Mashma, not like that. That there's something which is so extraordinary, so it's got to be us, sir. We'll figure out why later. Like that type of an attitude. Yerushalmi seems to introduce such a concept. It's a very fascinating Yerushalmi. The Babi does not have that idea anywhere. And so Pashas, you'd have to tie it into one of the Lama Tess Malachas, even though so Rashi says, so yeah, fine. A person melts doinog geshava, which is wax, or it's a chalev or tallow, or it's a zephyrus or pitch. Zephyrus is tar, kofer is pitch, the gopher is. Now, I'm not sure exactly when they say gopher, do they mean exactly our sulfur, or what, they mean something else, because sulfur doesn't melt into a liquid.
Service, we say.
Okay, so something of that sort. Reza told us, Mavashal b'chayv, all of these melting wax, it would be total Mavashal. Okay, now, Mavashal kli adam ha'chayos, so you make something out of clay, and then you fire it in the kiln, and it becomes earthenware. It changes. There's an actual change. Cheris, you know, the clay beforehand doesn't. You wet it and it'll dissolve. Whatever it is now, you wet it, it remains a clay. So you must change the item. So that's called using heat to change something. Is because of mavasha. Now look at the Mishnah Berurah adds the kodesh mitzchazik a clay v'nitzav ha'kibshon v'nasa cheris keroy mitzvasha ba'tit shel a clay. Before it becomes hardened and becoming cheris, there is a bishul taking place. Which seems to be that the Rishonim are learning that the malacha of bishul is specifically softening, not hardening. So after Masber, so the hardening is not what's yichayiv for, so why yichayiv? The answer is before you get to that point, the heat obviously, until it starts turning into cheris, the nature of the heat is it's going to weaken it, not strengthen it, until you get to the point. A person takes a piece of fresh wood and puts it into the oven that it should dry. Yeah, not near the fire, you know, close enough that it should dry out, but not close enough that it should become firewood itself. So you want to harden the wood, right? So lechera, so he's chayiv. Why? Because we do a shemitchila humisrapa v'yetzim an alachluchis chayiv mishem avash. So even though eventually it hardens the wood because it takes out all of the liquid, but as the liquid starts to come out, the wood becomes softer and then it becomes harder. So again, we see this idea that the malacha is specifically softening, not hardening. Kol shel davar, bein shripa guf kosher ve'esh, or shehiksha guf rach erez chay mishum avash. That's the language of the Rambam. So the final klal is softening a goof, a davar kosher, or hardening a goof rach is going to be chayiv.
Doesn't that contradict what we've just said?
We'll take a little Sharetzion. Rosh Lomer, kima shehiksha mistama misrapa mitchilo v'chayiv al ripui. So we have to assume if it hardened it, by hardening it, because it pulled out the liquid, when you start pulling out all the liquid which is there, it softens it before it hardens it.
If I stopped at that intermediate phase?
What?
If I stopped at that intermediate phase, if I put it on to the point where it started softening, it didn't really accomplish what I really wanted to accomplish?
Hard wouldn't be blechas mosheves. So, but you know,
ultimately, it's a funny thing then. So.
Well, I want the whole process. That's all part of what I want. The only way you can get the final result is by the softening. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. So a person should be careful. I don't know why there would be like there's this temptation. I'm not sure what the temptation is of putting the wood there, but the Shavur says it's very important to be careful about not putting the wood on the outside of the oven. And once the Friday after Shkia, because it's gonna harden it, which means it's gonna soften it and then harden it. It should be chayiv. She's dealing with the chashash, concern of the raisa. Okay. Hiniach boso agabi gachol. The Mishnah Berurah continues. He says a person put meat onto coals. So what's the shear to be chayiv? Imitzlat tzliya gemurda kasher gargers is chayiv. So the shear of cooking, dealing with cooking or food issues in general, the shear is kegargers. The malach of kaitzer is the size of kegargers, etc. That's the standard assumption. So over here also, if he cooks an area of this big piece of meat, if he cooks the area of the size of kegargers, that the cooking, the roasting process is completed, even though the rest of the meat is still raw, it's still, you know, it's not fully cooked. It doesn't make a difference to me. And even if it's not in one spot, but it's spread out over multiple spots, so they come together to be considered a maisa of bishul. Now, how much roasted is called roasted? So this we hearken back to what we had in Rishon Gimel. There's something called Kamaichel Ben Drusoy. So it wasn't fully roasted. Rach Kamaichel Ben Drusoy was only roasted to the point of the food of Ben Drusoy, which makes it minimally edible. So Gam Chayin Chayin, that's another Chayin.
Half cooked.
So Rama came along and added this new kinesh, which the question is where he got it from. He says, this halacha in a case where it's only kamachim and drusoy, normally we say, let's say roasted on one side, on the other side it's still not roasted, I don't care. Over here I do care. That it should be, I'm willing to eat it when it's only partially cooked, and it's not fully cooked all the way through, from one side to the other, not from end to end, but from all the way through the item. So the other end is still raw meat. I don't want to eat raw meat. It's bad. I don't have to eat meat which is only partially roasted. It should be totally raw. I'm not interested. Here's the Rambam Shom Belachay. Now, this is all talking about the derisives. Obviously, all these cases, even if it's not, it's still miyosim rabbanon. Because of Kimash Vad Raman, the Kila Linyan Sliya, Hashir Gargus, who Gam Kain Rak Linyan Chiv Chatas. That which is the say, well, if a person does the size of Gargus, it's Chai. Sounds like the size of Gargus, he's scot free. No. It's also the Rabbon, also the Rabbon. It's chatzis shir. If it's less than a kagargus, it's a chatzis shir, which is instead the rice. Ugam kein rak linyan chiyav chatzis. Al beisur rice yesh b'chol gavni. Kena kaim alon chatzis shir also min atar. So we pass on chatzis shir also min atar.
Chatzis what?
Shir. Right. Okay. So that's Mr. Berurah's introduction. I think let's hold it here. And then we'll reconvene after Maris.